You're listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast, bringing you the best of geek from week to week. Join your hosts, Dion and Quinny, and the occasional special guest as they talk movies, TV, gaming, toys, comics, and everything in between.
£25?
No, I ordered 200.
What is beef?
You still got that meat connect? You get $12.50 for that on eBay.
Boom.
Jeff, no, please do not touch that.
That's my pot. Everybody knows.
That's her pot.
Not system. System, baby.
System.
This is your brother's house. I was running it fine without you.
Why didn't he leave it to you then? Don't wipe your hands on your apron, Chef.
Jeff.
I refer to everybody as Chef because it's a sign of respect.
You can throw down, huh?
Behind.
So how you gonna pass the family test? Delicious or impressive?
Delicious is impressive.
Word.
Yo, family's up.
I just never had platanos with, like, grass on it.
We want to change this restaurant, right? But we have to change the chemistry.
Hey, why are you always, like, watching me?
Because it's just sort of my job.
We're in a chili flakes. Because it organizes, it's more confusing.
Right there. Labeled chili flakes.
This is a delicate ecosystem, and it's held together by a shared history and love.
I have every intention of turning this into a respectable place of business. Eventually.
Time to try the new sandwiches.
Yo, this looks different.
What do you think?
It's redundant and white, just like you.
Hello and welcome to the Periodic Table of Awesome. That was a fun one to make me do an intro on. What happened there?
Oh, come on.
Thanks for fucking it up, Dion.
Hey, what do you mean fucking it up?
Oh, do an intro. It'll be fine. Nothing will go wrong. You just have to make it
alive. Am I the one? It's like, fuck, Dion, again. It's like, okay, behind.
Behind Dion. Corner, Dion.
Behind. Jesus.
Jesus. Anyway.
Okay, this is going to be the angriest, most.
I mean, look, we've brought you high anxiety in space. So this week we've decided to bring you high anxiety in the kitchen.
Wait, which one's high anxiety in space? What was the one that we brought? Just anything.
For all mankind.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Forget about that show.
I mean, now I'm completely up to speed on it.
It's outside of my peripheral vision, I'm like, whatever.
And now that I'm fully up to speed on For All Mankind, I know exactly what you're talking about. And when you're like, the bit where that happens, I was like...
I mean, if you want like soul-crushing anxiety, you can just watch C on Apple TV, but you watch it without actually... Like, don't look at it with your eyes. Shut your eyes and just experience it in an audio-visual way. And, you know, it's great. Like, it's very anxiety-inducing.
Yes, it's anxiety-inducing in the idea that maybe they'll give it another season.
But anyway, we're not talking about that today. We're talking about something else. What are we talking about?
We're not talking about the lions. We're not talking about the bears.
Tigers.
We're talking about the bears. Oh my.
There's a bear in there.
Wrong bear. Bear. Significantly less stressful bear. Unless you were unfortunate enough to actually be afraid of.
There's people with
bananas.
Knives. And cigarettes to sell.
I don't know. I'm slightly, yeah.
Open time. Fuck, you're not ready. Why haven't you prepped your station? It's chef school.
Just cut him off, Peter. Anytime.
Look, we got to the end of that. That was great.
Perfect.
All right. So just a quick survey for the chat and the room. How many of us have done any of the homework? How many of us have done all of the homework? How many of us have done almost all of the homework?
Okay. Anyone in
Quinny's
the chat?
Got to episode 7. Aww. I think episode 7 is the important one.
I have just finished watching episode 7 literally a minute and a half ago.
Okay. Oh, my God. None of the chat has
terrifyingly
watched it, which is...
Okay, well, they have a very good excuse for not watching it because we didn't tell them what we were doing until today.
It's been almost like on Sunday we went, oh, fuck, what are we doing?
It's almost like I was perhaps.
Yeah,
it was on the polls. That's why I'm surprised. Several always people voted for the bear.
Yeah, yeah. Was that just us creating spam accounts and voting for it ourselves? I mean, look, I'm just going to take this as an opportunity to sell it to the people who haven't seen it.
Because that. 100%. Honestly, I had not watched it until yesterday. So
it is a good binger.
It is.
Like it goes right through you.
Like some sort of
like water when you're dehydrated.
like a cheap sandwich from a Chicago suburb. It will go straight through you.
So everyone was kind of going nuts about this show well before it became available via non-nefarious means in this country. A lot of my American friends were talking about its incredibleness on Facebook, and we didn't get it on Disney Plus until a few months after it was released in the States. It was one of those kind of old-fashioned thingamabobs where suddenly we have to wait.
Technically, it came out on FX in the States.
Well, I was just trying to work that out, whether this was an FX or a Hulu one.
Yeah, it's distributed FX. By Disney, right. But it's made by FX and distributed by
but it
Walt
was
Disney.
Streamed on Hulu in America.
Yes.
I was like, I'm sure there's a Hulu link, and it's like so many of those things that in America goes out on Hulu or whatever, and we get it through Star, which is the Fox brand on Disney Plus. So, yeah, which I always find it so weird because occasionally you'll run across something that is way adult and has all of the swearing, and you're like, what are you doing here in my Disney? Saying, fuck, cousin, fuck. Anyway, okay, cool.
Look, I mean, it's all from one giant teat that we suckle off these days, so who cares how you get it, but you can still get it.
So I was excited for this to drop because lots of people were talking about it, and then I had to...
Oh, no.
Somebody talked to me about the bear.
Yes.
Okay. Somebody talked to me about episode 7.
Yes, that is true.
Oh my God.
Yes, that was true. You did have a little bit of anxiety. People were getting on the uptake enough and quickly because you were just kind of like, has anyone watched the bear? Because I want to talk about it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Peter needed to talk about
that. Something must be kind of interesting with it when one of my friends from down Tassie, my buddy Noel, just sent me a message completely apropos of nothing, just going, dude, have you seen the bear?
And you were like, where is there a bear in there?
Yeah.
Don't turn around.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you aware this that is there like, is a bear?
Dude, I lived in King's Cross. I've seen many bears.
In fact, I'm quite popular with many.
Yeah.
But yeah, like and for like that's one of those ones that Noel is one of those people who has really eclectic tastes, and he's not gonna reach out to me about something that isn't pretty spectacular. So Peter had recommended it, and upon Peter's recommendation, I watched the first episode and then went, this is very stressful and I don't think I can handle it. But then Noel's message came in and then we were doing it and I was like, I'm going to keep going with it. And it definitely rewards you, but it does it in a very violent way.
What do you mean violent?
I mean, I think I said, I can't remember whether it was Noel or who I said it to, but I quite literally said, I feel like I have been verbally assaulted by a TV show for half an hour. Like, right. I have walked into something with this and have had pots thrown at me. I've been called every name under the sun and I've been ducking and weaving for the 25 minutes or whatever this has been on because this show feels so... like aggressive and the characters are so fucking unpleasant.
It just sounds like you and everyone on this show could have dealt with all this in therapy.
Oh. Oh, never has a show been in more need of therapy.
Yeah, there's a lot happening here because it really kind of hits you in the face a bit from the first episode. Yep. And part of the way it does that is it starts to stress immediately. All of the exposition, all of the backstory is just in images. So you kind of have to be like watching the screen and you're kind of getting hit in the face with all of these images within the context of this, super stressful busy kitchen, and that's kind of how it starts you out. There's no kind of ramping up into this story. It just kind of dives straight in, at a very kind of high anxiety, high energy level from the very beginning. But what I do like about it is given all of that, it is very much a character piece, and like Dan would say, you know, a small story. You know, it's about one place. You know, characters that all set up and all have really kind of reasonable arcs throughout the series. And that, aside from the high stress, that's kind of what gets you into the series. And the other thing I like about it, you know, being, you know, one of these things released on streamers is there is no set clock. The episodes can last as long as they last. So it all kind of feels tight. It doesn't feel padded. Each, you know, episode story feels enough and not too much to get where it's going, particularly episode 7, which we'll talk about later, because I'm sorry, it's just such a fucking basic film school nerd thing, but I just have to talk about
it. My question is, what is the bear?
What?
Like,
why would we need to say that? No, we just need to, like, no exposition. It's all in the pictures. Let's go, go.
We're trying to sell this thing, and it was like, there's a whole bunch of people in it, and
there's 35 beef chef. Chef.
Everyone's wearing aprons, and there's white T-shirts on the video, the bits, and what's going on. But what question I'm asking is, what is the bear?
Order up on a synopsis. Yes, chef.
Order up on a synopsis. Order up on a synopsis.
35 synopsis. Yes, chef.
Can I get hands, chef?
Hands! Where the fuck are my hands?
Hurry up, you piece of shit.
They're just off the screen, Quinny.
A young chef from the world of fine dining comes home to Chicago to run his family's Italian beef sandwich shop after the suicide of his older brother, who left behind debts, a rundown kitchen, and an unruly staff. Shit gets bad from there. That's like, this is a very, very short synopsis. I was hoping that there would be a longer one, but that's kind of your starting point.
You didn't go for the Chicago accent.
Damn it, I really, I'm sorry. Hey,
where are you from? You're from Boston? Are you from Boston or not? You're from Chicago.
One of those ones is real hot.
Is it?
It's almost New Jersey, but not quite.
And I don't want to do Boston, and I don't want to do.
It's like a cross between Jersey and Boston.
If an American Chicago. Can go up, can comfortably stand on any sort of video screen and be like, "I'm Aussie, hey, throw a shrimp on the Barbie," I'm very happy to be sitting there going, "Yeah, I'm from Chicago, eat dish pizza and all that, y'all." Wait.
Wow. Just happened. Hang on. Where the fuck is my shit accent emoji? Yeah. Where the fuck is my... There it is.
That's a shit
crap
accent.
Crap accent time. Have all that.
Cupcake.
Hey. Yeah. Fuck you all. Yes. I went to Juilliard.
you went to... Was it Noma? Noma? Yeah. You go to Noma? Fuck Noma.
No, I went to Julian's, which is my mate's house, so that's where I learned accents. Yeah.
Anyway. So the funny thing about this, I watched this, I think, after episode five of Andor.
Segue.
Yeah.
I was about to say, Quinny, Star Wars shows later in the month.
Yeah, I know. We'll come back to that. But there's an actor in Andor who is in this, and he's playing a complete asshole in both shows. And I had this weird kind of disconnect where I'm like, aren't you on a planet in space, but also you're in a Chicago beef place?
I find it very annoying that I was watching it, because it's Eben Moss Backrack who plays Richie. Who was in The Bear. That's where I first saw him. And then when he showed up in Andor, I was like, cousin!
Wait, who was he in Andor?
And then he's
one of the dudes who is one of the rebels who goes into to liberate the...
Oh, yeah!
And then what happens in it to him in the episode afterwards, I was very confused.
You're just kind of watching it. You're like, hang on a second. I was like, oh, an asshole in both
He
shows.
Didn't have the accent, space.
No. Yeah, yeah. Where's the space Chicago? Yeah,
yeah. It would have been great if he was dealing...
I'm going to give myself a crap accent.
If he was dealing death sticks, that would have been fucking great. Just out the back alley.
At least he should have been smoking a lot of death sticks.
Yeah. Anyway, Peter, have you seen Andor? Because that joke, that whole section isn't making sense for you if you haven't.
Oh, hang on.
Let's focus it back on the bear.
Well, it's on the list, guys. It's on the list. I was too busy watching episodes of this multiple times in a row.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll just gonk us all a little bit. There we go.
Yeah. Yeah. Fine.
Watching that and watching him, I was like, oh, wow, okay. And so that was perhaps an in to kill, you know, because the characters are pretty fucking dislikable. Like... Well,
human.
Yes.
Not a lot of pressure.
Who's making cat noises?
Is that the cat that you're cat sitting?
I think so.
Wasn't me.
Meow.
I don't know. I'm like, did I make that noise?
Is Peter going to start saying but meow?
Now, see here.
Sorry, guys.
I thought that your mic stopped working, or it's just that the register that you now operate at.
Oh, dear.
All I'm saying is that I didn't necessarily find all of the characters unlikable. I thought that there was a lot of light and shade in them. Because, I mean, take Kami, for example.
I like a show that has assholes in it.
Yeah. But you can see with Kami that, yeah, he's an asshole, but he's in times trying pretty hard not to be the kind of asshole that the other chefs have been to him. Sometimes he fails, but the intention is there, and also he's under a bit of pressure, and also he's got a grief situation going on, so like there are lots of factors. I think
it's almost as he's trying to use work as a coping mechanism when he should use therapy.
I mean, okay, so I'm sensing a theme from Dion, which is the moral of this story is therapy.
Everyone in this TV show needs therapy.
Yeah. I mean, everyone everywhere needs therapy.
No, I'm fine.
It wouldn't do anyone much harm.
Yes, I mean, but this is part of the thing that makes the drama actually a little bit more understandable and allows, I think, the audience to latch onto it. I mean, it's an anxiety-driven show. You're 100% right. That's what this whole thing is about. It just goes and says, go with this. And then what it really does well is it pays off the willingness for you to go with this story. And I love that it presents everyone as pretty much everyone in this show is an asshole in their own right. But also, everyone in this show is amazing and wonderful. And it just takes that little bit of friction and once you get past that little bit of friction, you can see that sparks of genius in everyone. And that,
they have asshole nature, but like, I'm pretty sure a lot of people would act that way under that kind of pressure. I know that I lash out when I'm under pressure like that, but you can see the other side of their personality as well. And I think that's what makes all of the characters very likable, is that you can relate to them on another level. And you take their good days with their bad days. And that's something pretty special and also hard to do.
Yeah, agreed. Like I didn't like anyone to begin with. I just thought everybody is just so incredibly dislikable. And then I started to go, oh, so each episode has a villain that is even more dislikable for that episode. But then I started to realize that in each one of those moments, there is a point in time where you find something about somebody else, or you know, you see, like, I guess the best thing I can think of to describe it is like this whole thing is about being a pressure cooker. You know, that things have to be under pressure and under heat and boiling before really incredible things come out of them, and unfortunately sometimes your pressure cooker explodes.
Yeah, I mean, one thing that I do want to say about the show is, and one thing I think kind of gets missed a fair bit along the way, is the fact that everyone's paying attention to the characters, like the people in the show, because they're the most interesting things. That's where everyone's happening and can relate to it. But there is a huge character that has amazing growth if you compare it from first episode to last episode, and that is the restaurant. It honestly does. If you if you finish the series and you look at it and then you go back and look at the first thing, it's all down to just about how much every different character in it has improved it slightly, and that it's a communal team effort of making this place better. And that's kind of a really interesting little thing there that a few people that have watched it have missed. I'm like, yeah, but have you seen the restaurant from the end episode compared to the restaurant at the start of the episode?
The city is really the fifth character.
Oh, my God. The bear is such a Miranda.
It also comes down to the other element that does make the unlikable characters likable, which is that they all really care about the jobs.
Yeah.
And whether they're good at their jobs or they become better at their jobs through the series, that each character really cares either about the restaurant itself or about their profession and what they do and getting better at what they do. And that is always an endearing factor in a character. And it just all works, kind of all comes together. Oh, wait, we're cooking analogies.
Yes.
I do love the fact that the chat is now just literally a rolling boil of cooking analogies.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, all of the shit cooking analogies I've done for other things that didn't deserve cooking analogies. And
this does. Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a perfectly balanced flavor. You know, you're not too much of one ingredient into all of this, even though you feel like it's not going to work. But then it does.
Doc Forrest made a good point, having chef vibes. I know that when I did start watching this, I'm like, oh, it's like chef. I love chef. Just watching people enjoying cooking.
Yes.
And it's not just the passion about creating something, but it's about feeding people and about that sense of community that comes with food. And I really enjoy watching that.
I really love this one because this just got it just got too real, a lot of it, because even though everyone is in the show at their core, once you get past the first bits and pieces, deeply committed to creating a wonderful thing and they really are passionate about food and they have everything, the chaos that is just there, even against that they run up against all the times. Like every single character really is committed to this place and wants to make lovely food. But sometimes it just doesn't fucking work that way and people melt down.
And I feel like there are some characters who, whilst, you know, they may be there for either the restaurant or for the love of food, there are some who just don't know how to get out of their own way. And 7 episodes in, I still find Richie to be incredibly fucking difficult to deal with.
Yeah, but that's the point. Yeah. Richie is the worst.
It's true.
Yeah.
He has his own shit to deal with as well. And, like, I really feel for the guy because, like, all he knows how to do is...
talk.
I don't know, be an asshole.
Well, yeah.
But like, it's not that he wants to. He thinks that that's his way to fit in
and like, fix everything. And
which
is a shame because he also, in one of the episodes, you can see that he does understand gentleness. He does understand, you know, caring and nurturing because he's capable of it. But he just doesn't, like, I look at Richie and just go, you are the poster child for toxic masculinity. Like,
he has the biggest front up for everyone because he doesn't want to seem soft, you know. It's that typical bravado that comes from, you know, growing up in an area like that.
It's just lovely because he's the poster child of someone who was always told, like, he comes from a poor family or a poor background. He's always been a fuck up, and he's got a best friend which was Michael, that just kept having him around, and he's kept in that cycle. And even though, like, he is more than willing to be absolutely devastated by the fact that his best friend committed suicide, he just refuses to show any emotion about it and continues to do the same thing over and over and over again, even though he knows he's
everybody around him.
Yeah, and attacked everyone else around him. But, I mean, that's why it's kind of like, I hate him, but he's that perfect. Yeah. What is it someone said earlier in the chat? Like, he's the bay leaf of the show. Like, he's so just in there. Yeah, and you just want to remove him, but sometimes there's something in there that will maybe make some magic occasionally. I suppose
it's like an abused dog, you know. Yeah. All they know to do is to bite. And, you know, you just got to show Richie a bit of love and I think he'll come around.
So Karina has asked the question, what is the best food in the show? And, I mean, it's about personalities, but also one of the things that makes it so delightful to keep watching is the food prep, the incredible cooking skills, like the discussion of flavor and texture and seeing chefs at their fucking best and why they love being chefs.
Is it food porn though? Because there is some pretty good food that gets it like slowly gets slides.
Sluttiest through. Show no. I've seen in terms of food porn.
It's no chef's table.
The food isn't presented in that polished way that you present food porn, because that's not what the show is. The food is part of a very messy story of a very chaotic place. But I don't know if you could eat anything.
I feel like the big beefy sandwiches that they're serving would be fucking amazing. Like they would taste incredible.
No, I want Marx's chocolate cake.
Oh, no, I want the donut.
Yeah, yeah, sorry, I was going to say. I want the donut too. I want that fucking donut. I'll eat it off the floor. Because he did, and he was like, fuck.
But also, Sydney's braised beef with the risotto looked fucking delicious.
I want to eat that one.
I love it. Also, I also love that like we're all collectively having memories of food that we've seen on the show, and yet that wasn't the point of the show. Like, at no point do we talk about the menu, or do they talk about the menu too much? They talk about all of their thing around.
That's one thing that all human beings can connect to is food.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. I years ago, I did like I got commissioned to do a short film for the local council in Tasmania, and it was working with a whole bunch of different refugee families. And we made, some just migrants. And the whole point was, okay, we're going to get six filmmakers to work with different groups and talk about food, like, and make these six short films all about different foods from different groups. And that, it was great because people are happy to talk about food.
Mm.
They love, you know, sharing food, and it's the way that you, it's the flavors that tell you so much about the place. And I fucking love that something like this is doing the same thing. It's just saying, here are a bunch of people that are also very different flavors.
Without giving away anything, my favorite food from the show is without a doubt the Ecto Cooler from the children's party. I'm not going to explain why.
With or without the Zannies.
I wasn't going to explain why, but I was like, that was a pretty good one, actually. I want to try that. Cheers. Because it does have, I think this is the thing. Like, this isn't a very funny show. Like, it's not one that's out there and does a lot of comedic things. But I think because it's so intense and focused, then when something funny happens in the show, it's such a tension and pressure release for everyone that it is funnier than it would be regularly. Mm. Because, this is this is not a comedy show. This is a drama.
No.
And it's like it's so anxious all the way through. And then occasionally there's just a couple of funny things that happen. And you're like, oh, well, there's the little breathe and relax before you go back to the tension.
And,
you know, one of the things I think that is really great about it is they're all short. Relatively. Yeah. Yes.
Except for the last episode.
Absolutely. And that's fair enough. They had a lot of things to do and a lot of storylines to tie up because it was very stressful in the episode before.
Mm-hmm.
Mm.
Which Quinny just finished watching.
I think we should talk about that after we review and clip. I think we can talk about it without being spoilery as well. Because,
absolutely. Yeah, because I want people to watch it.
And this is what I'm sort of picking up from the chat. The chat has gone into the whole thing of comfort food and what are their favorite foods and what do we love seeing cooked on screen. And there was a whole bunch of stuff that I remember thinking, wow, this reminds me a lot of Chef. I think we can definitely sort of pull apart the episodes and tell you why we want you to watch it. Why is it? Why should you persevere? Because if you're like me, you'll watch the first episode and go, oh, fucking hell.
I mean, the thing is, when I started watching the first episode, I had to start again because, like, I got 10 minutes in and went, I can't look at my phone and watch this show. I have to watch this show. It's not a phone. And again, after the break, I'll tell another story about you have to actually watch the show, not just have it on while you're doing other tasks. Nope. But you do, it's one of those ones where you kind of sit down and realize that you actually have to sit down and watch it. But given they're kind of short episodes, I think given all of our anxiety levels and stress levels and multiple things going on in our lives, it's a very digestible show, but it is so tight. It's so tight. It's so well done in so many ways. Like, I really can't point to something about it that I'm like, but they didn't do this particularly well. It really is just a super well-made show. And I love that in such a nerdy way, which is why I keep trying to make people watch it.
It's interesting because it also doesn't feel premium. It doesn't feel like you're watching a glossy, big, expensive premium show. Like, you know, when you watch a HBO thing or a Game of Thrones or whatever, this feels very dirty and very handheld. And like, this is, I'm sure it's a set that they're working in, but it feels like the camera work and everything feels like you're in the middle of a kitchen, and it's a working kitchen, and it's a dirty kitchen, and it's hot, and it's dangerous. And shit has grease baked onto it that has been there for 20 years. The whole thing feels so, kind of lived in and dirty and almost cinema verite, if you want to get all wanky. You know, it's aiming to feel documentary-like without being a documentary. Is that cinema verite? Help me out here, Pete.
Yeah.
Good, excellent.
The industry, please tell us.
All right, yes, listen up to Quinny's two-minute film school. I don't know, cinema verite. Doesn't matter.
Yeah, I think that's one of the things that I like about it, is that it feels dirty and lived in it and real. And as such, the more tense and everything it gets, it feels a bit like, no, it's real, it's happening somewhere, and I don't like it.
Yeah, I swear to God, if I didn't already have anxiety, this show is enough to give it to me, because holy fuck, I was having heart like palpitations watching a few of these episodes that were so tense, because I'm like, oh fuck, I deal with this shit at work, I don't need to come home and watch this on TV. It's very uncomfortable.
Yep.
I think,
and I briefly worked in food service and remember that there are elements of this that are just horribly uncomfortable.
I think the greatest joy about it is that people who work have worked in restaurants or anywhere like this, they love the show for the attention to detail, or just knowing it because it gives them flashbacks. Or people who haven't, by the end of the series, they recognize all of the things that would give people triggers about that, like hearing the ticket machine going crazy. Something being not right, or here dropping a pan, or you know, someone not doing something.
That fucking background noise of the video game machines in the front room, and I'm like, fuck, I'm trying to concentrate, I can just hear this ping ping ping,
and the video games machines that are actually, you know, like, it's funny, like I feel like they, you know, they're meant to be kind of homemade in a way. That, like, this is a game that you can't find anywhere else, and the game is basically all about insulting each other. So you've got a video game machine out the front of the thing, go, fuck you, fuck you. And, you know, you're like, oh, for God's sake.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of one of those fun things about it. Anyway, so, all right.
Yeah.
Well, we're getting too far in. We could keep going on this for ages and ages and ages. Is there anything that you want to talk about to sell it to people before you rate it? Just the performances. Kind of.
If there's anything
a little bit of a haphazard. I think everyone who's acting in the show is great, because they get the time to shine in their part, because it is, you know, you're right. I think you're right, Quinny, earlier. We're like, oh, so, you know, you hate everyone to start with, and then each person gets like a little time to change to be the villain, which allows everyone else to be you know, you show their softer side. So that kind of worked for me. Because I just, I want to say they're all great without calling them all out, because even though it is headed by, you know, Kami, everyone else is supporting him because he's just a anxiety-ridden person who needs therapy. And that's a boring person. That's a boring character.
Yeah. I mean, and like he's always going to be your jump on because he's the one that's got so many of the things. He's linked to everybody, you know. You know, it was his brother, it's his sister who's, you know, trying to keep an eye on him. He's the one that's had the traumatic background. I mean, they've all had traumatic backgrounds, but, you know. Mm. I think Lisa Colón-Zayas, who is Tina, like, she gets an amazing turn. Mm. Like, because in the first few episodes, you're like, oh, I hate you.
Yeah. Why do you have to be so difficult?
Why are you such a bitch? But then you kind of, and that's the thing, like you see things grow and it's like the whole thing is cooking. The whole thing's cooking. I don't want to be so obvious as to, you know, use food analogies and cooking analogies all the way here through, but I can't help it.
Oh dear. Good.
Yes. Pete, anything else? Come on, Pete. This is yours. Is there anything else that you would say to anyone to sell them to watch it?
No, I think I've done my selling. I don't think you have to be a fan of a particular genre to be able to watch this. You don't need a lot of time to be able to watch this. The only reason I would say not to watch it is maybe if you have particular triggers, because there are mental health triggers in here, or if you have worked in a kitchen and find that quite triggering, because you might not find this show very fun in that case.
This is work.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to go and work and then come home and watch more work.
I'd be fascinated to know whether somebody who works in you know, a kitchen, what their take on this would be. Like, you know, because...
Yeah. What makes you think that anyone who works in a high-pressure cooker kind of kitchen environment has the time to watch television?
Yeah, people that cook don't watch TV.
No. And
they're too busy living it, Quinny.
Yeah, I guess the other thing we didn't quite sort of explain, maybe we did, I don't know, is that Kami was at one point in time basically one of the best chefs in the world. Mm-hmm. Was in Michelin star restaurants doing absolutely highest of high-end fine dining, and now he's working in a shitty sandwich shop. And the tension between what he was and what he is and then what he's trying to make it be is what the show runs on. That's the core tension of the show, and I feel like
good at pointing that out.
I just didn't feel like we'd actually said that key part. And that's really the key part of what the show is about, is if you try to make things better, some things will try and fight back against you. And if you are a person who is aiming for something, you've got to work out how to use your ingredients to turn it into something amazing.
Hmm.
Okay. Should we have a clip or rate? No, we've got a rate.
Rate.
And I have two clips. So you can make your decision while everyone's rating about which clip you want. Because I have a clip with Kami and Sydney talking to each other first time, or I have a clip of Kami working at the Michelin-starred restaurant.
Oh, the one with fucking Joel McHale being an asshole. Yeah. Joel McHale knows how to do best.
Anyway, I'll start off because no one else is going to. I'm going to give it 98.
Holy shit.
Yeah, because I just think it's great. It, like, Peter, you know, she ticked the boxes early for me. He's like, it's a small story about small people doing small things, but doing it in such a way that you can connect with everyone. Like, I love a small story. You know, none of these people are rich. None of these people are famous. They're just showing what it's like to work all the time. And it is an interesting and it's a fascinating story. And there is depth to everyone. And yeah, you kind of hate everyone, but they're all working towards a common goal of just trying to get through their lives. I think the thing is, I'm hating more of the people around them who are getting in their way. That's the thing where I kind of hate it at the moment. But I love it. Like, you know, it's great. Am I going to watch The Bear season 2? Yeah, because I can't wait to see it peak and then turn into a garbage fire because it's going to go spectacularly. Anyway.
I'm gonna hold off for a second just because I'm still processing.
You
still have an episode to go.
Yeah, so. You still have an episode to go, and you just finished like that one, which would give any person who's worked in the food service industry flashbacks because of the tickets that do not stop. Yeah,
and we'll talk about that episode after the break when we go into spoilery town. But yeah. Somebody else do a rating. I'm still trying to think what a number I could possibly say.
I'm going to go with 87. I do enjoy the show. I will definitely watch a second season. I'm just like too stressed out by the stress in the show to really be able to fully enjoy it. But it does get points for sneaking John Bernthal in there because I kind of have a crush on this guy now. Like, I can't stop watching shows that he's in. And it's weird. I hated him in The Walking Dead, but you know, that's just because he's a good actor.
That is completely fair. It's nothing to do with the fact that he's hot or anything like that.
I just love someone.
He's pretty hot too, yeah.
Casper's in the chat going, ooh, John Bernthal. I was like, come on.
Casper. It's a bit of a...
leave a little bit in there. You don't want to rush to dessert before you've had the rest of the meal. Come on.
Yes.
I'm going to say 97 because, like... I can't think of anything that's wrong with it, except that it is stressful it doesn't give you that nice feel-good feeling that our 100 rated across the board, Ted Lasso did. So it can't be 100 because it's too stressful, but it is superbly executed for something that is quite stressful.
Yes, you're more than willing you're more than allowed to have a little stress cry at the end of the season. There was just a lot.
That may be necessary.
Release. There's a bit of release at the end.
Yeah, I did have a tear.
Right.
Yeah.
For me, thus far, up to the end of episode 7, which is the penultimate episode of the show, for me, it's a 90. I think it's like, like you, Pete, that thing of having to have another go at it. You know, the first one, if you're double screening it, you're going to struggle real bad. And I just found the first one to be so aggressively unpleasant and like in your face and stuff that I was like, oh, fucking hell, I really need to back off from this. So in that sense, it has that kind of barrier to entry. But when you kind of get on board with it, you realize that that's actually the point of the story. It's like... it can't be anything other than what it is, and what it is amazing. So, yeah. So that's a 90 from me.
Yes. Like as Missy said in the chat there, have a little stress as a treat.
Yeah. No.
No, I'm good.
No, please.
Go out and watch The Bear. It's a lot of stress as a little treat for yourself. At the end of a long day, you can come home and watch other people melt the fuck down.
But then you can nerd out about it because it's real good.
Yeah. And also,
does that only make me happy? That must only make me happy.
No, that we'll get to that. But yeah, it was very impressive.
Yes. All right. So we're just going to go and we're going to have a little bit of a clip and then come back and talk about stuff. But which clip do you want to see? Do you want to see the nice one of like Kami and Sydney meeting? Or do you want to see the absolute stress ball that would be working in a Michelin starred kitchen?
Working for John McHale.
Yeah, working for John McHale. Would you like a little bit of stress as a treat or maybe just a nice little interaction?
Let's have a little bit of stress as a treat.
Okay, we're going to have a little bit of stress as a treat.
Chefs, table 38, 2 people. Table 23, 4 people.
Broken sauce, chef. Need a new one.
Yes, chef.
Fire, 31, 25, 2 out on 31, chefs.
Still not there again, chef.
Yes, chef.
Thank you, chef.
Wait on 31, chefs.
Why?
Chef, I'm sorry, it got too hot.
Why?
It didn't cool down.
Why?
But it was my fault.
Go.
Fine. Fire 19 chefs.
Ready.
Hold on 17 chefs.
Ready.
Why do you hire fucking idiots? Do you like working with fucking idiots?
I'll do better.
Say yes, chef.
Yes, chef.
Can you not handle this? Is it too much for you? Answer me.
I can handle it.
I can handle it, chef.
I can handle it, chef.
12, 10, 36.
Fire 8,
don't
13,
fuck with my
36.
Count.
Sorry,
3,
chef. 8,
52,
13,
14.
29. Why are you serving broken sauces? Why? I get it. You have a short man's complex. You can barely reach over this fucking table, right? Is this why you have the tattoos and your cool little scars and you go out and you take your smoke breaks? It's fun, isn't it? But here's the thing. You're terrible at this. You're no good at it. Go faster, motherfucker. Keep going faster. Why are you so slow? Why are you so fucking slow? Why? You think you're so tough. Yeah. Why don't you say this? Say, yes, chef. I'm so tough.
Yes, chef. I'm so tough.
Say, fucking yes, chef. I'm so tough.
Yes, chef. I'm so tough.
You are not tough. You are bullshit. You are talentless. Say, fucking hands.
Hands!
You should be dead.
Hands!
Music is so stressful. Fucking
hands! Behind!
How about a little stress as a treat?
I love the way that the chat has been kind of like, oh yeah, now we'll talk about food, and they're watching the clip going, what the fuck?
They're all like, why are people liking this show? This is just the most stressful thing. It's like, that's not even the most stressful episode.
No, oh, that's not episode even two.
Near. Not even near.
Did you think episode 2 was the most stressful episode?
No, that was in episode two.
Yes, that's
what we're saying. Like, you know, that's just a small part, and then it gets worse at some point. You're like, holy fuck. Yeah. I almost wanted to go outside and have a cigarette after a couple of those episodes. Just as like, why? I know I'm smoking again. It's just, anyway.
It's a weird thing that like throughout the show, the moments they go out to smoke actually feel like smoke breaks.
Yes.
Like
that's the only moment you get relief.
Yeah. And I was like, holy shit, that's some amazing filmmaking to make the feeling of having a smoke break be the moment of taking a breath in your show.
Yeah,
is a part of rhythm and storytelling that is just amazing.
Yeah, and that's part of like this is where I will say like this is great film language in combination with a great story, because what are they doing? They're trying to show how do we show that this is really stressful. Well, first is he's used to those kind of really immaculate kitchens and everything's working, and he's trying to work and do a good job, but noticing everywhere just cutting away to things, to spills, to messes, to stuff that's not clean. You're hearing people off camera laughing about something, and that gives you a better understanding that Kami is freaking out inside and trying to hold together, and that's good film language. You know, we can show, we don't have to tell you, it just all matches together. Anyway, it's great. Go watch The Bear.
Sorry, I'm just looking at Missy in the chat, just being like quite literally noping the fuck out on this one.
I was just like, why would Missy. You watch this? It's like, yeah, it's good. It's really good. You give a shit about everyone.
Oh, Casper's never heard the term broken sauce. I break sauces all the time. It's really stressful when you're about to serve dinner to someone.
Yeah. It's similar then, you know, to just splitting dairy, Casper. It's like it's where the oil splits from the rest of it and breaks.
Yeah, it's like
and suddenly you've
it's
got
why
this,
they
this
have
cover
to whisk the gravy in Bridget Jones.
Yeah. Or it's like what's a good example? The same thing like you're putting cream in a pasta if you've left the heat on while you're doing it and you're cooking it separates all the milk the milk solids in there, and then it becomes disgusting.
Yeah, anyway. You get these weird chunks of stuff. Anyway,
and then you go outside for a cigarette as a reward.
So let's talk about the most stressful episode, and we can do it without spoilers because the episode, the technique itself isn't a spoiler. Although I have to admit that almost everybody that I forced to watch this, and then they've come back and they said, I watched it, and I've gone, episode 7, and I've gone, yeah, it's stressful. And I was like, one take. And they've gone, oh, really? Oh, I didn't notice. That's how good the one take is.
It's fucking amazing.
That's how well they hit the marks.
I remember you saying there was an episode with one take and I just never noticed it. I'm like, oh, it must have been the last episode. And then I was watching the last episode. I'm like, I missed it.
Yeah. I was folding laundry. That's my other story about, like, you have to watch this show. I had kind of binged it. I was up to episode 7. I was sitting in front of the television on the floor folding my laundry. And I got like 17 minutes in. And I was like, I was watching it. Like, I was looking up and down. But because I was looking up and down, I didn't not see the not cuts. And I kind of looked up for a little bit longer. And I was like, oh, that was a cool move. That was another... Oh, I think I have to start this episode again.
Oh, no.
I feel like there's been no cuts here. It's an incredible piece of work.
It is. It starts like, and I kind of knew that that was what was happening in that episode. So it doesn't, like, the episode starts with a few people getting to the restaurant and everything. And it starts normally with cuts and stuff like that. And it's actually showing, you know, it's actually a really interesting episode because it feels quite different from the others. It almost does a bit of a kind of a documentary kind of thing where it's showing these still images of Chicago and setting it up with music and showing them getting up in the morning and going to work and stuff like that. And then when you hit the restaurant, it's a single cut. And Jesus fuck.
It is so well choreographed. It is so well choreographed. That's why you don't notice, because the camera becomes a character and it is like hitting every mark, every close-up, every mid-shot. The focus pull is perfect every time. You never really notice that there's been like a bit of a slip where somebody wasn't quite standing on their mark or the camera didn't quite hit the right moment. It is absolutely flawless the entire way through. And I just, like, I know that it's like a basic film student thing to be really impressed by Awana, but oh my God, I've watched it 3 times now. Like, it's just so fun. It's so much fun that they're like, you know what, this is what we're going to do in this already super chaotic show.
I don't think that's enough fun
to distract me from the absolute nightmare that I was living
with
the rest of it.
That's what makes it such a nightmare, the fact that you like feel like you were in the kitchen with them. Mm. And that technique is what is pushing you over the edge on feeling like you're in the kitchen with them, because it's relentless.
You never cut away.
Relentless.
You never get a moment. Like, there's a couple of times where the shot will linger on something, but you can still hear shit happening. Like, there's one point where somebody goes through a door and the shot lingers on I think it's a pin board or something like that. But then the point is what you're hearing. And the characters also, like, the rehearsal process for it must have just been incredible.
The set was specifically designed so that they had movable walls that can't come in and out. There were 150 lighting cues for the entire thing. There's a fantastic article on Vulture about it, about how they achieved it, and it's more complicated than you think. It's not just moving around the kitchen in a dolly. It's pieces of the set moving around so that you actually can't see what's going on.
We'll find that and chuck it in the post. Yeah, we'll find that and chuck it in the post, though, for when we put it up for Thursday, so you can go and find it. But that's good. I want to read it now.
If you nerd out about that shit, it's just a really fun thing to nerd out about.
Sure.
Yeah.
Although,
I think because a lot of the people I've asked to watch it are filmmakers as well, and as filmmakers, they still went, oh, I didn't notice. because it's so seamless.
Well, I don't know if it's that seamless. You don't notice because the chaos of what is happening during that time is what your focus is on. You're worried about what is actually going on in the story and how the characters are reacting. So you've forgotten that they're the whole, like all of the, you've forgotten the camera. You're actually there. You're part of the kitchen by that stage because you've invested in all the characters up until that point.
And also it's the point where the character who's probably been what we feel as being the most stable, the one who in many ways has been the cipher for the audience, because so Sydney is the person who enters into this world. I'm getting real filmmaker here. that Sydney is the one who enters into this weird and strange world. And so a lot of the time we see it vaguely from her perspective, but she's also the one who is probably the least manic and the least, you know, and also not entrenched. So, you know, everything to her is as shocking to her as it is to us. So she's, and this is the episode where suddenly she ain't the stability anymore. And that's really off-putting.
It is. And there are like certain moments where she in that episode becomes almost as unlikable as all of the other characters because she's really having a vent. And there are also moments, I mean, you kind of mentioned Verite style before, Quinny, and this is the one that feels almost like that because there are moments where, you know, the camera kind of departs the action to kind of have a moment with one of the characters who's basically just, you know, talking to the camera or having an aside. And I'm presuming that this is so that they could reset the set in the background before they moved back in. But it does kind of have that feeling being there in that moment with that character before you kind of then pick up with another character and then you're following them in as well. It's I mean, the opposite of Verite because it's so well constructed, but it just has that in the moment feeling to it that is a lot of fun to watch multiple times in a row. And think, how did they do that?
Now that I've got this article, I am going to fucking rewatch it again, even though I found it very stressful and unpleasant. Yeah, yeah.
I love it. It's like, oh, I'm going to watch it again. Oh, right, I'm going to watch it again.
Yeah.
I'm going to get myself some chamomile tea. Get a wrap.
Once it's all, I mean, to me, once it's academic like that, I switch, but I don't feel stressed by the plot anymore because I'm just so fascinated by each moment that has been constructed within this episode.
Who do you think's got then out of the first season, who do you think has the best character development across the season? I mean, they all do. Like, this is the, everyone has a growth, maybe except for Kami, because Kami is so locked down with his emotions.
No, I would argue because
episode 8
was quite revelatory for him, I believe.
Yeah, true. I was trying to like figure out like whose story am I still interested in? I mean, I'm really interested in Marcus.
Yes.
Because I find that he had one of the more interesting stories to follow as being the baker, pastry chef / guy that you can just see him getting really into it.
I mean, he just started out baking bread and then you kind of start to learn that he's really into like cakes and baking and he gets a little bit of freedom to experiment and really starts to grow.
So but also in that growth, does that thing, and I think that episode 7 is so good for that, where it's like you've forgotten that you're actually needing to do all this other shit.
You still have a priority that comes above your experiments, and I think a lot of development came to a head for characters in episode 7.
Yeah, it's like they wrote it correctly. It's like it was intentional. Or they hadn't just decided to throw, you know, an episode focusing on one person because they were bored or they ran out of stuff.
Yeah. And I'm also very pleased that thus far we haven't hit the Underground Fight Club episode.
No, but I'm...
Yeah, looking... I mean, this entire thing is an Underground Fight Club.
Yeah, technically exactly. This is an Underground Fight Club. Especially in episode 7 because there is, you know, stabbings. but, you know, hey, look, you know, it's about how you discovered the anger along the way that was in all of us.
I'm looking at it and there are characters that you think, oh, like what was their growth or how did they change? Like there's Ibrahim and Manny, who are two kind of the more sort of secondary.
They're very peripheral.
Yeah. And Angel, who you really don't see much of at all.
No.
They'll get there.
Yeah. Then you get Neil Fack, who, you know, shows up occasionally to be
the guy that fixes the shit, but
yeah,
like,
and
does
he's
a
desperate
really
for a job.
yeah.
And you're just like, you're wrong for this, but I've got passion, I got drive, and it doesn't fucking matter, dude. You can't cook.
And I'm a nice guy, TM.
yeah, I was just like, whoa, no. Yeah.
I mean, like that's part of the fun with it. Like it's the old versus the new in this way that I thought was really appealing as well. You know, the old way of doing things and the new way of doing things and how that butts head in a natural progression, but also at least it felt honest to me. It didn't feel
it's
like there were...
It's a delicate ecosystem.
I mean, even from the very start, it's like, we would like you to wear this same apron that everyone wears. It's like, well, this is ridiculous. I'm not putting this on. This is a piece of shit. It's like, yeah. Why? It's a simple change. It's a small thing. Jesus Christ. You know, it's just like, oh, okay, fine.
Funnily enough, the guy who plays Fak is actually a professional chef.
Well, there you go. Oh,
sorry. I'm just looking at some of the trivia because I'm like, this is a show that you know, there's so many different little bits and bobs.
Wait, he's the guy that's on, like, Ugly Delicious?
Probably.
I believe so, yeah.
Fucking love that show. If you guys ever watch the Vice Network on SBS, watch Ugly Delicious.
Okay. I'm sure I've seen it, or at least some of it anyway.
Because I knew I recognized his voice and all of the tattoos and stuff, and I'm like, where have I seen this guy before? Now I fucking remember.
And lead guy, Kami, Jeremy Allen White, actually went to cooking school for a few weeks before doing this and worked in kitchens, including a Michelin star restaurant one, to, you know, train for the show. Yeah. And I'm like, okay, that's cool.
I mean, at least you did. Like, I mean, but come on, having an actor turn up and going, I'm here because I'm going to play a chef on a show, has everyone like, okay, fine. Like, he's no, what's that guy's name? The guy who became a cobbler. My Left Foot.
What?
Last of the Mohicans. Come on, you help me here. There will be blood.
Forgotten.
Oh, God. Oh, no, no. It's collective collective amnesia. We've all forgotten. Oh, no. He's an actor.
Hey, Google.
Oh, thank God. Daniel Day-Lewis. Thank you.
Thank you.
There we go. It was a collective amnesia. We all went to hell. Thank you. That's why we outsource part of our brains. Yeah, he's no Daniel Day-Lewis.
But he's not getting all you know, method on this yet.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yes, chef. Oh shit, he's really a chef. Look, it's the bear. It's the vibe. I would go and watch it. But yeah, get yourself a nice chamomile tea for after. Maybe a cigarette. Yep. You might need it, but highly recommended. Go and watch it. It's lovely. Yes.
Off you go. Yeah.
Right. Off you go. Go now. You've got plenty of time.
On you get Disney Plus. Yeah. It's easy to find.
Yeah, it's on Disney Plus. And what
sandwich
are we...
Sandwich it between episodes of Andor.
Get it? Sandwich.
Ah. What are we watching next week?
I don't know because I haven't actually looked at the list.
But we're not here. Remember, we're not here next Tuesday.
Next Tuesday. We're not sure if we're here or not. Just yet.
Well,
do we know if we're not here?
We're just hedging our bets.
Has that been confirmed?
We're just hedging our bets.
Let me just look at my emails. thus far, no confirmation yet, but the invitation was sent and we have RSVP'd.
FYI, we're hoping to go to the preview screening of Black Panther next Tuesday, so we may or may not be here. We're not sure yet.
No, well, you know, probably. We'll see what happens, but like we're just moving it to Wednesday. So
you don't get an official ticket, we'll try and sneak in.
Yeah, sure. That'll be like, fine.
Don't you know who we are?
Uh-huh. I'm an influencer.
I won a fucking Emmy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, we got heckled by Karina at the movies the other day for being the periodic table of awesome, and I fucking loved that. So
perfect.
Somebody knows who we are.
And what was she like? Aren't you the periodic table of awesome?
She's like, it's the periodic table of awesome. I'm like, yeah.
What's up? Just because we're reviewing movies doesn't mean we can't start some shit. Anyway, so next Wednesday we'll be back reviewing Weird, the Al Yankovic story, which is out on the Roku 4th. Channel on this Friday, the 4th. Mm-hmm. You can do that. And
I don't know how or where to get the Roku channel.
The Roku channel. It's.
I'm pretty sure it's actually free, and you can subscribe to it for free on the internet.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's. Yeah.
Yeah. going to see the Roku channel. And then that's on the 9th that we'll come back and do that one. And then the week after, maybe we'll do Black Panther. Well, Peter's definitely going to do Black Panther because she would have walked into the cinema with her Emmy. going, show me this Black Panther.
One seat for me, one seat for the statue, please.
How are you, statue? Do you want some more popcorn? Sorry, that's me just reaching just off off screen.
Yeah, so, yeah.
I've got an Emmy just off screen.
Just off screen.
Sure, yeah. You do.
I do have this though. I finally found the Luigi that that Casper gave us. Hey. So many subs. Sub here.
So many subs.
Sub here. Sub here. And then, Thomas is just over there.
Excuse me.
You heard me.
Say hi to Thomas for me. Anyway.
Okay, he can say it to himself.
Oh, he's still in the packaging. You haven't even taken him out. He might suffocate.
Well, I was going to give him to you all on Halloween, but I wasn't there.
You weren't there, because where were you and you didn't bother to tell us? You were in Bean Lee.
Peter's fucked off. She doesn't
care. Yeah.
Oh, no. I'm just going to show you that I also have toys just off screen today.
Oh.
So, yeah. Oh. What toy is that? Show me your toy.
Thunderbirds.
Oh, very nice. Hold in front of you. There you go.
There you go. Oh. Thunderbirds are indeed go.
Thunder. Thunderbirds are away.
Yes. So we will all get a Casper sub. I was in Bean Lee on the weekend. I was there for AkaCon, the second AkaCon. And it was a lot of fun.
You look like you had a good time.
I had a fucking ball, not gonna lie. And I have now learned so much more about idol culture. and I've, in fact, by the end of the weekend, also learned about B-reels. Didn't know what they were. Now I do. They're the
B-side?
No, they're like the new TikTok-y
type things. Oh, B-reel, that new thing.
Oh no, it's a new app.
There's a new app. There's a front camera and a back camera, and you don't get to choose when it happens, and it's like a whole thing.
Yeah. So I was literally on stage finishing up a thing, and suddenly seven people were like, "Can you do my be real?" And I'm like, "What the fuck does that mean?
What does it mean?"
Yeah, and you take a photo of whatever you're doing at that moment. What they didn't tell me is that it takes a photo of whatever you're doing, but then takes a selfie of you while you're taking the photo. So now there's six people in Bean Lee whose B-reel is me going. I'm like, good. Yeah, a little information could have gone a long way on that one, guys.
Right.
I took checkies and have now been offered a spot in AMUSE, which is a...
nice.
Yeah. They're like, hey, look, we've got a spot as the yellow person in this idol group. What are you doing?
The yellow wiggle.
Yeah, basically. It's been a pleasure working with the Periodic Table of Awesome, but I can see bigger things in my future. I'm going to become a Japanese idol.
You and Lady Beard would get on great guns.
Fuck yeah. And
I think you should call yourself The Bear. There
we go. Well, he could be Lady Beard, you could be Manly Beard.
Yes. I'm down for it.
Or Beardly and Man.
Funny you mention it. I think he may or may not be a guest coming up. So,
there you go. Cool. Well, that's been lovely.
Lady Beard and Lady Bear.
Perfect.
Yes.
Can't wait to see you drop us like it's hot, Quinny.
Quinny in a maid costume.
It's so hot. It's so hot right now. I would never drop you because you are my first and only loves. And also, I'm very sad that I missed out on Halloween shenanigans, but I did get to have one of Jill's cookies.
Ooh.
And it changed my fucking religion. I now bow down before the cookies of Jill.
Well, if anybody wants another batch, I've still got some pumpkin puree in the freezer now.
Yeah. Okay. After just one, I'm like, so you got any more of those pumpkin cookies?
Got any more of those cookies?
Did
you try Peter's scones?
I did. Also very nice, but I hear that the cream that you had with them, Peter, was a special cream.
Well, I left the cream behind.
That got removed.
I was going to say, if you didn't get any, then that's...
Well, I mean, sorry. Now we're having a conversation about the food we ate on Sunday. Like, fuck y'all. We ate all this delicious food on Sunday.
And you weren't invited.
For the chat, Just so you know, it was a pumpkin cheesecake cookie from Chell Sweets, and you guys can find that on the internet.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. Spectacular. I followed Chell Sweets on Instagram, and her baking is just, yeah. It, that's my baking porn on my Instagram feed.
Yeah, right.
I've
got to go do that now for food, for recipes, and then we'll open up our own restaurant. What would we call, what would Periodic Table call our restaurant?
Periodically Edible.
Periodic Edibles. We're very specific.
Oh, now that thinking.
We're open we didn't even mention the drugs, did we?
The munchies that give you the munchies.
Yeah. Oh,
I like that. No, I just mean in the bear. We didn't even mention drugs once, did we?
No, you don't have to.
Oh, yeah, we talked about the Zanny dipped Ecto Cooler.
Oh, dear.
Anyway.
Yes. Okay.
Yes.
All right. Thank you for joining us, everyone. Thank you in the chat. I hope we've made you hungry for more of the bear. Get out there and watch it. And also get on to Weird for next week. Yay.
Yes.
Yes.
Are we going to go raid anyone, Quinny?
Yeah, let's do that.
We're going to go raid.
Where's my controls gone?
We're going to go raid. We go raid.
We are. Okay. Sorry. I've literally lost the fucking window that has all of my controls in it. Oh. And I don't know where it's gone. There it is. Ah, that's because they've gone there. Let's see who we could go and raid. Let's go and raid Barjo, shall we?
Hey.
See who's live at the moment.
See if he's making any food.
No, currently I think he's playing COD Modern Warfare 2. So that's the almost the exact opposite of, cooking.
Do another food stream.
Let's do that.
Food stream. We should have a baking with the Periodic Table thing one day.
Yes.
Oh, I like
we are all also baking nerds.
To be honest, then, most of that will be me trying not to fuck up other people's baking. I'm like, that looks interesting. What if I add some of the... No! Get away.
I just do what I do for my 3-year-old nephews, Dion. You can stir this one.
Yes.
Don't touch anything else.
I believe I stir enough.
Yeah, oh, yeah, you stir.
Absolutely.
Thank you. Bye. Bye, guys. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. I'll be in Chicago. I'm coming home. I'm coming home. Searching for a home. Searching for a home. Searching for a home via Chicago. I'm coming home. I'm coming home.
Thanks for listening to the Periodic Table of Awesome podcast. If you have questions, please email info@theperiodictableofawesome.com. Find us on our website, www.theperiodictableofawesome.com, where there's links to our iTunes, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Twitch. Until next time, stay awesome.